If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. British authorities say it appears a U.S. airstrike in South Afghanistan last night killed three British soldiers and wounded another two. The British troops called in air support when their patrol was attacked by the Taliban. North of Baghdad today, one U.S. soldier was killed and four wounded during a combat mission. Last night, al-Qaeda militants attacked a national police station in Samarra, sparking a two-hour gunfight. Three people were killed, including a woman and a child. 14 fighters were arrested. A dozen Pakistani soldiers were killed today in several bombings, most of them near the Afghanistan border. In the past month, 60 soldiers and 250 militants have been killed. China announced 17 pounds of radioactive uranium at the center of a criminal trial are missing. Four men are accused of attempting to sell the material on the black market. Police say the uranium, which may be used to make nuclear weaponry, cannot be found. Storms continue to pummel the Midwest, downing power lines, flooding neighborhoods and roadways, submerging homes and businesses. More than 1,000 people have been displaced. 24 have been killed. On Capitol Hill, at least one Senate panel will investigate the cave-in at Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine. Efforts to reach six miners trapped in the collapse have been unsuccessful. Three rescue workers were killed, six injured in those attempts. A Marine drill instructor in San Diego has been charged with 225 criminal counts of physically abusing recruits. Two other drill sergeants have also been charged in the case. A government report released today says Louisiana is out $34 billion in reconstruction costs for Hurricane Katrina and Rita. Federal aid and insurance payments have not been enough to cover the estimated $100 billion in storm damage. In Jackson, Mississippi, the elder Ku Klux Klansman, recently convicted of murdering two black teenagers more than four decades ago, will be sentenced today. The 72-year-old faces life in prison. In Maryland, the man who shot Alabama Governor George Wallace is preparing for release after serving 35 years in prison. 57-year-old Arthur Bremer has never expressed remorse and has never given a media interview about the case. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A giant panda at the Vienna Zoo gave birth yesterday to the first panda cub born in Europe in 25 years. It was a surprise to zookeepers who hadn't even been certain that Yang Yang was pregnant. Only about 1,600 giant pandas live in the wild. Only about 60% of giant pandas born in captivity survive. Two major security breaches, one in California and one in New York, may have compromised personal data about 725,000 retirees enrolled in pension funds. Investigations are underway. Ketchup maker H.J. Heinz beat Wall Street expectations today by posting quarterly profits over $205 million. The company credited strong sales of new products and the success of its marketing campaigns. Last year at this time, Burger King was losing money. Today, the nation's second-largest hamburger chain posted a quarterly profit. Burger King says its bottom line was boosted by staying open longer and by its new inexpensive breakfast menu. New applications for unemployment benefits decreased by 2,000 claims last week. Light sweet crude is trading at $70.20 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 10 points, the Nasdaq is down 4 points, the S&P 500 is flat. Gold trading at $670.50 an ounce. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Thank you for that. I know we're running out of time. I'm going to step on Cynthia here. No, you wouldn't let me even do that. Oh, and you said the bitch's name, too. Ooh, you could have just said G. You give him the...
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, time once again to get the hell up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Wake up, get up, get up, get out of bed. Move it, move it. Jumping jack. Get up, get up, get some exercise. Hey, you two over there, that's not exercise. I don't care if you're, say you're engaged, disengage. Move it, move it. 1, 2, 1, 2. Why, I oughta. It's 10 o'clock here in Chicago, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Why are you still in bed? Why aren't you more like your brother who's up at 8 o'clock in the morning pounding for payment, looking for work, even when he's got a job? Why aren't you like him? Why can't you be like your sister Frederica, who goes out there every day selling those flowers? What's wrong? It's 9 a.m. on the West Coast, or 8 a.m. on the West Coast, so you should be waking up just about now to get ready to go to work if you do the normal 9 to 5 shtick. 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 Say it right. Say it right. I work the incredibly lousy hours of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and I am dead tired, and I'm going to try to force my way to get through this damn show, even though I'm like seconds away from falling asleep. It's just awful. I hate this damn shift. I hate working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and I worked extra yesterday, which is why I was, I couldn't do the show because I didn't get off work until, what, around 9 o'clock, 9:30? I don't remember. I just went home and went right to bed. And, you know, the problem is I go home and I get to bed and I wake up around 4 or 5 o'clock and I can't get back to damn sleep again. So the cycle repeats itself. So by the time, you know, the work day is almost done, I'm just sitting there falling asleep at the bench. And that's no good. I don't like that. I don't like being like that. I want to fall asleep when I'm ready to fall asleep, not when I'm at work. And it's very annoying, fighting to stay awake, and then you get home and you can't get to sleep. When you finally do get to sleep, you don't sleep enough. I hate it, I tell you, I hate it. And it's got to end, it's got to change. I got to get back on that 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift. That's the shift I like. That's the shift that I like, because, you know, I'll start to fall asleep around, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning anyway. And I can get up at a reasonable hour. You know, I can get up at 11, 12 o'clock and have plenty of time to get ready for work and still have plenty of time to goof around when I get home. And it's really weird how you still work in 8 hours, but depending on what your shift is, you get more accomplished when you're working a certain shift. I don't get a whole hell of a lot of accomplished now because I'm frankly too tired. And I get up, and I wake up after 5 or 6 hours, and I'm still tired. And there's things that I got to do, but I'm just like, I hate this damn shift, and I got to get off of it. And the only way I can get off of it right now is if I get this promotion to second shift supervisor, which I'm really kind of pushing for, even though, you know, I doubt, to be perfectly honest, you know, my work doesn't recognize my abilities, and they don't understand. And really, like with everything else, they're not looking for someone who's got the skills to do the job. They're looking for someone who they feel they can push around. And that is the big problem. That's and it's the same way at a lot of other workplace people. Everybody knows it. there's a lot of places out there. I would say most places in the country now, unless you're one of the rare few who has a different type of career, that if you're looking to be a supervisor, the biggest thing that's important to them is your ability to push people around. And I've been waiting to hear about this promotion for about 3 weeks now, just to have the interview. And they keep saying, oh, it'll definitely be this week, definitely be this week. And I get the feeling that they're just looking for, you know, well, what's really going on, I think. First of all, I've got a boss who's suffering from executive block, afraid to make a decision. There's always, you know, and there's people like that say, oh, I make this decision. If it doesn't work out, then I look real bad. And the people yell at me, it's not good. And it's also because they got somebody else kind of sort of doing that. And they just kind of go, well, everything's working the way it is right now. I don't want to make any changes. And in the meantime, I can't pay my rent. I can barely pay my bills. It's every day I wonder if I'm going to get a call saying, you know, do I work tonight or do I not work? Well, I wait for the call one way or the other anyway. And there are a lot of times when I'm like, I don't even feel like showing up. And then I go down there, and this is what happened to me in the last couple of weeks. I go down there, and there's maybe 2 hours work, and it's like, why are you calling me down here for this crap? And then they complain and say, well, you know, you always say you want more hours. Why do you always say, well, damn it, you know, why can't I have a situation where I know that I'm going into work instead of just, well, we've got a few hours work and we're just going to make it seem busy. You know, I hate busy work. I hate busy work. And, being, you know, the only way I'm going to be able to stay at this job is if they give me this promotion, because, quite frankly, I cannot afford to work. I cannot afford to live on $9.63 an hour. I'm sorry. That's it. And, we had a little kind of a BS meeting the other day, myself and my immediate supervisor and her immediate supervisor, and I'm like, look, you know, a couple hours here and there don't make a damn bit of difference. I would have to work 70, 80 hours a week in order to make enough money where I'm comfortable. And, frankly, I don't want to work 70, 80 hours a week. I'm too old for that crap, okay? I'm far too old for that. If I get the supervisor position, I can hang with that for a while until I get some money saved up. I can get the rent paid off. I can even get the back rent paid off because I'm behind, I still haven't paid August rent yet, for crying out loud, and September's coming right up. It's sickening. It's sickening. And you know, there's a lot of people out there who work a lot harder than I do for a lot less money. That's what gets, you know, I go, there's a McDonald's not far from where I work, and the only reason I stopped there is because at the time of night I go down there, it's the only place open. That and 7-Eleven, what's the difference? They're all evil. But the people who work there, they work their asses off. And what are they making, $7-$8 an hour? They work their asses off. And it's a damn shame. And, you know, my feeling is when you get stuff like that, I still say, look, damn it, we ought to just really start seriously boycotting a lot of these places. Just don't buy anything from some place. Don't go to Walmart. Don't ever go to Walmart. Boy, that ought to be a national. Quite frankly, I would be very, very happy if we went over to every Walmart store in the country and just stole everything out of it and burned everyone to the ground. They're a bunch of worthless pieces of junk anyway. And I think we ought to take all of the Walmart's, all the Walton family's money, just take it from them and distribute it amongst the poor. All of their billions of dollars. Damn it, I'm just sick of this stuff. I think we ought to take, what's that guy's name, Murray, the head of the coal mines. First of all, I think we ought to drop his ass down a mine shaft. And I think we ought to take his money and give it to all the coal miners in the country. Just take it. I'm sick of it. And a lot of other people are sick, too. Just tired of being treated like crap. And the only people who can stop it is us. And that's the problem, is we're our own worst enemies half the time. Because there's a lot of people, and I work with them, and I work with them and time and time again, that they're more interested, as I've said before, they're more interested in the job than they are in the work. which means as long as they have a job, they're just going to do what they need to get the job, and they don't really care about the quality of the work. They don't care about anything. And frankly, I'm at the point where I think, you know, I've been at the point lately where, you know, whenever I see a Republican, I just want to punch him in the mouth or her in the mouth. Just for principle. Just punch him. Kick him in the nuts if they're guys. Just if they have any, if you can find any. Because, you know, Republicans don't have a lot of real balls. They don't have the balls to fight the wars that they say that are important. But I've got the balls to take a commercial break. And that's what we're going to do. It's quarter after the hour. If you want to call in, talk to me. I don't have anything in particular to talk about today. I'm just going to ramble on about crap. If you want to give me a call, 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. Toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here. It's Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, numbers to call in if you want to call in. 1-304-658-5453. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4 head on. If you have 3 minutes on your cell phone, or if you have one of those free long distance plans, call the 304 number. That just helps us out a lot. But if you don't and you want to call in and talk to me, and you don't have one of those, just use the 877 number. But try to avoid it if you can, if at all possible. If at all possible, if anything, just you know, whatever. Just give a call, talk to me. And I keep, you know, one of the things about being so tired is that I want to, you know, write letters to people and get people as guests on the show and so I can have somebody to talk to. But I'm so damn tired. It's like I said, I'm just going to fall asleep. As soon as I finish this, I'm barely staying awake now as it is. At any rate, I often, you know, sometimes I wonder to myself, and I'm sure some of you wondered similar things, I wonder why people are such idiots. And you know, you think about stuff, and it's blunt to say it that way, and I know you're not supposed to say that. Why, how dare you say your people are stupid? What's wrong with you? Don't you know the people are... Oh, shut up. But you wonder why sometimes people just do things that are outrageously friggin' stupid. And a part of the reason is that there's a huge Republican propaganda machine out there. And for 30 years, they have been telling you a whole bunch of lies. And the biggest one being that, you know, it's got to be all, you know, everything that's, it's what you do. You can't get any help. You know, any type of government intervention. Wow, that's welfare. We can't have any of that, you know. I reckon if you get rid of the government altogether, everything will be better. Give it all private industry and do it better. You've been hearing that crap for ages. And the propaganda comes mainly through AM talk radio, which has been largely ignored by the print media and the television media. And the thing about it is the difference between what's going on in the blogosphere, and the blogosphere has done some tremendous things, don't get me wrong. The fact that it was blogosphere candidates that won big elections in 2006, helping the Democrats. Not that it's done a whole lot of good, I'll be talking about that later. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to get the country untarded, so to speak, you need to get into a workplace every single day. And I would like to have my voice heard in the radio place every single day. Because you know something? People need to hear it. People need to hear from me, from anybody, that they're being totally ripped off. And that you are. Every single day, and I've said this, you know, and I got to keep repeating it on the show every single day, you just need to imagine, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea, you need to imagine that George W. Bush, the Republican leadership and their financial backers, the entire Bush administration, actually, are there in your room right now with a gun to your head ripping you off. And that's exactly what's going on, because they work, and they're there all the time. They work 24/7, 365 days a year. They never stop. And they're always training new people to come up to try to figure out more ways to separate you from your money. That's what they live for. That's what they're all about. It's about power politics. I've spoken on this before on my blog, and I've mentioned this on the blog. You know, the people talk about, well, this is an ideological thing. It really isn't. It's a hegemony, and I can't pronounce it properly. But if it's a hegemony, it's not a political hegemony. That is, it's not based on any particular idea or ideal that's based on politics. What it is pure power politics. It's all about winning at any cost. Karl Rove was the main practicer of that. But they have plenty of other people coming up behind them, don't get me wrong. But basically, it didn't really matter. Nothing really mattered to Mr. Rove and to his little minions out there. The truth, anything, didn't really matter. What was important was winning. But, again, what have they done with all the power? They have no idea to know what to do with the power once they have it, except grab more of it. And it's an endless repeating cycle. And the Democrats control the Congress, but you know what? They can't get anything done. And they can't get anything done because the Republicans never stop fighting. They didn't say, well, we lost that election. I think we'll just cower in the corner. And then, no, they're not doing that. And they have no need to do that. And they know their propaganda machine is still intact. And they know that the so-called professional media is basically going to be repeating their talking points. I want you to listen to this. This is how they phrase stuff. This is from Glenn Greenwald's column on Salon.com. And he talks about this. Let me read verbatim from what he wrote. He wrote, the Washington Post and Cornblood, which is a wonderful name, analyzing the difference between Republicans, Democrats, and Iraq, explained on Tuesday's Hardball. She writes, it remains, especially in Democratic crowds, the number one issue. There is no applause line that gets a bigger response when you're out with Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, or Senator Edwards, than when they say the first thing I'm going to do as president is start ending this war in Iraq. Republican crowds are a little different. They still want to be supporting the troops. So you're supporting the troops by leaving them in the summer in the midst of a civil war that we helped cause with no end in sight, with not enough weapons and armor to help them out. That's supporting the troops. But the Democrats, who are just afraid to say the right thing, really, because of the very serious people in the so-called professional media, you can't have them saying that we're going to leave Iraq, because that's, not supporting the troops. And, we know everything, even though we've been wrong about everything for the last 20 years or so, we know what we're talking about. And the Democrats say, we better be careful what we say. Congress right now has a lower approval rating than President Bush. And the reason why Congress has a lower approval rating than Mr. Bush is because they're not fighting. They ought to be pounding the impeachment wagon every single day. They ought to be out there not just with subpoenas, but ready to use armed force through the military if necessary when it comes to arresting Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney. Contempt of Congress, they're in contempt of humanity. But they're not doing that. Nancy Pelosi said famously, impeachment's off the table. We can't have impeachment. That would be bad. This country is not going to be able to heal as long as these people have any power whatsoever. And again, I hear a lot of stuff from my friends on the left who get carried away with things. And they talk about, there were bombs in the World Trade Center and remote control planes and they knew everything. And they paid those. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they did after 9/11. What matters is what they were doing before 9/11. My point is, get them the hell out of office first. You have to take care of that. There's so many things that need to be done in this country, but you're not going to get anything done so long as Mr. Bush is in power. You're not going to get anything done as long as you have any Republicans in Congress, either the House or the Senate, or B, so-called professional media that is so caught up in their little... I think every White House reporter right now ought to be just fired. I think they ought to refuse to let them do anything, and I think we ought to start pulling licenses on radio stations and television stations that are doing this stuff. And people are not buying the BS anymore, but it doesn't matter, because the people who are in Washington there, whether you're talking about politicians or media people, they all got lots of money. And money is more important than anything else, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way they see it. Money is more important than the lives of minors. Money is important than the lives of the people who cross every bridge in the country every day. Money is more important than the people who have to suffer through flooding or through hurricanes. Money is the only thing that is real, according to these people. And that's the plain truth. We've got WINS News coming up. Again, if you want to give me a call, let's just feel free to do so. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. If you want to hear something more than me rambling around. It's a Puffy on Yumi break. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. An ironic battle between the NLRB and the NLRBU union continues to unfold. Jesse Russell reports.
Last week, members of the union representing workers for the National Labor Relations Board began calls for the resignation of NLRB General Counsel Ronald Meisberg. Meisberg has refused to bargain with the union representing 1,000 NLRB employees. This week, the NLRBU received support in the form of an unfair labor practice complaint filed by the Federal Labor Relations Authority. The FLRA serves a similar function as the NLRB, as it governs labor relations between the federal government and employees. In the complaint, the FLRA alleges that the NLRB has violated federal labor law by not bargaining with the FLRA-certified union.
As teachers and students prepare to return to the nation's classrooms, a California teachers rock band called the Angry Tired Teachers will be taking their stick-it-to-the-man attitude with them. The 10-year-old band played live on the Hayward, California teachers strike picket lines and at protest rallies before that strike. Band member Andy Knight.
The union got this idea of getting the band a flatbed truck to go around and play at the different schools to boost morale and get teachers fired up on the strike line. And so we did a little tour. We called it the Stick It to the Man tour.
Knight says the band plans to support San Francisco teachers as they gear up for a possible strike. He says the Angry Tired Teachers' spirited music can build solidarity by bringing teachers together.
We thought of it as a mission of the Angry Tired Teacher Band to play and play really loud. All of a sudden, people enjoyed us at these rallies, and it really picked people up and brought people together. Singing the teacher's blues. Singing the teacher's
blues. Singing the teacher's blues. Teachers in Baltimore are being asked to work to rule by their union as classes start next week. Contract negotiations with the school district are stalled. At the heart of the negotiations are plans to curtail the amount of prep time for teachers. The union says this time, used for photocopying, grading papers, and more, is essential for running an organized classroom. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
Does the current downturn in the mortgage market reflect the popping of the dot-com bubble? As of Wednesday morning, 11,000 layoffs had been announced in just 4 days, many coming in the mortgage sector as companies spasm from the continuing collapse of the subprime market. John Challenger of U.S. job monitoring firm Challenger Gray & Christmas spoke to the AFP on Wednesday and compared the downturn of the mortgage market and the job losses to the dot-com bubble popping in 2000. Rising home foreclosures this year have added to the crisis.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great: quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Hey, I've got an economic report of my own to make. Here is today's special Cup of Joe economic report. We're screwed! That was the Cup of Joe economic report. Tune in tomorrow when you hear me say, we're still screwed! I can't put it any plainer than that. If you're working for a living in this country, you're screwed. You're being robbed from. You're being stolen from. That's not the right word. I'm not phrasing it right, but you know what the hell I'm talking about. Every day you're working to make somebody else rich. Every day you're working just to stay afloat while the top 5% of the country plots to steal the remaining 30% of the wealth. What does the top 5% own right now? Something like 50, 60% of the wealth in the country. Probably a lot more than that. And I think the top 10% owns about 80% of all the wealth. So could you imagine if you had 100 people, let's say there were 100 people in the country, and $100 represented the entire wealth of the nation. That first person would have about $25, the first person in line, the richest. The next five people combined would have something like $40 or $50. And the 10 richest of those guys would have something like $80. And you'd have 80 people splitting that $20 remaining. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. That's where we're at in this country. And a big part of it is right-wing propaganda, because I hear all these people all the time, these phony libertarian garbage mouths talk about, individuality, do it yourself, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You got people right there say, yeah, keep saying that, you stupid schmucks. You keep blaming them Mexicans. You keep blaming them Chinese and them Vietnamese. You keep blaming them. But don't blame the real people. Don't blame the ones who are really ripping you off. Can't do that because, you know, well, they run the business, so therefore, you know, they're better than I am. And I said that they have the right to get their money. Yeah. I had the misfortune of when I went into work today of... They had the Chicago Sun-Times there, so I had a few minutes, and I was looking through it, and they had that lady, and I forget her name, Elvira, I think that's her name. She was here in a church in Chicago, seeking asylum, and she said, "No, I'm gonna leave the church, you know, I risk getting arrested, and blah blah." She was arrested and taken back to Tijuana, Mexico, because you know, she was illegal. And all the guys in the paper were like, all the idiot letter writers were like, and this sometimes is a right-wing rag anyway, but they were like, we've got to get rid of them illegals, them Mexicans, them black people, them. All these people screaming bloody murder about welfare queens when the truth of the matter is the white folks, the white trash, especially the ones that live in the South, around the military industrial complex buildings like Lockheed and Martin Marietta, or which have merged, I think. It doesn't matter. They're sucking off the government teat, and they have been for ages. And they build weapons to kill brown people on the other side of the world, because that's how we get our money. How did our oil wind up on their land? And again, and let me repeat myself, I don't know what the real reasons were for going to war. I'm not privy to their top secret conversations. I don't know what goes on inside their head. But the mission was wrong. And you all out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, you are all supporting it, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. More than a boycott, we need a general strike in this country. We need a general strike that lasts a long, long time. The entire country down. And I say for a month, damn it. I'm all for that. And you know what? There are certain people who do need to go to work. And, of course, you know, policemen, firemen, hospital workers. That's important stuff. You can't, you know, that can't slack off regardless of what's going on. That's above and beyond everything else. And people say, well, where do you get your food from and all that stuff? Well, first of all, what you should do is you should go to your local grocer and not a chain grocer. Don't go to any chain places. Don't go to any big corporate places. If McDonald's made no profit for 1 month, how do you think that would affect them? If Coca-Cola made no profit for 1 month, you know, and I was thinking about that the other day when I was in McDonald's buying a double cheeseburger, because I'm sorry to say I'm addicted to the damn double cheeseburgers. But I was thinking, McDonald's is a company that makes food. Why are they interested in anything else but making food? I don't understand that. Why do they have to get involved in other stuff, in other projects? And you know they've got secret stuff going on. Same with Coca-Cola. Want to rule the world, man. Want to rule the world. But, like, you're not happy just making a cheeseburger? That's not good enough for you. And, you know, I was thinking something else, too. And I want to go back to this subject because, you know, it's kind of a sore point with me. $5,000 thing that we were involved with. But even if they're not going to, if they don't want to make us one of their top five or top six, whatever. My question is this: one of the other things they were offering was like email support and publicity support. It doesn't really cost them anything to do that. But seeing what we do here, why don't you suppose they would just offer to do that for us? That would be just as almost as good for us as the money. Get a few more people knowledgeable about the head on that. Because, you know, we cannot afford to hire a full-time publicity guy. And why don't they do that? They don't understand what we do here. And Bob Kincaid spoke about it when I called his show. You know, when we do the show, when we do 12 hours of broadcasting live every day, which is what we do, we're maybe blogging about 30 pages. I probably blog 5 or 6 pages all by myself when I'm just rambling like this. But apparently, they don't understand. Well, you know, the blogosphere is very self-congratulatory and very full of themselves right now. But unfortunately, they also preach to the choir. We've got to get out there and we've got to get in people's workplaces. We've got to get in people's cars. We've got to spread the word that you're being ripped off. According to my good friend Bob Kincaid, who is producing the show today, he says we do roughly 20 pages per hour of blogging material. And, of course, you get to join in. Why nobody ever calls me, I don't know. We do get calls from some of our regulars, and that's fine and wonderful and all that, but why people don't call me, I really don't know. Don't you want to talk to me? Don't you like me? I do like having conversations, and you know, I am, and I've said this before, I am the least prepared member of the Head On Network, mainly because I'm so damn tired all the time. For about an hour or so before the show, or maybe half an hour, depending on how much time I have, I sit down and I read through some of our websites, and I see what I want to talk about. I don't really do any serious prep work, which I really should do. At any rate, whatever the reason, that's all right. But my point is, If you want to know why the country is tarted, then look no further at where the left spends its money and where the right spends its money. The right views all that stuff as an investment. They'll gladly throw $1 million to a think tank or to a, you know, to buy radio stations and say, do what you need to do. So long as you get the message out. We don't care how bad your ratings are. We'll buy the advertising time. I was reading an article in, what was it, The Red Eye, which is the free daily newspaper they have here in Chicago, put out by the Chicago Tribune. And it's just something, you know, I do the crossword, basically. But they were talking about, they had a book publisher lady who was talking about, you know, how Democrats are more readers. And she mentioned the fact that, well, you know, there are big right-wing book sales, such as Ann Coulter and all that stuff like that. But you know something? The truth of the matter is, and everybody knows it, everybody who pays attention knows it, the reason why these people are on the bestseller list is because these books are bought in bulk by Republicans who want to keep these names up on the top of the list to make people sound like they're more read than they really are. But you don't, but that's not, you know, the spin you get. The spin you go, oh, these guys are popular book authors. Let's get them all on our show to spew their hatred. Let's get our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. on the line for us. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
Hey, my brother. You hit the nail on the head with Marietta, Marquis Marietta, as far as the biggest welfare queens in this country.
Oh, sure. But, hey, I was part of it, man. I worked for Ford Aerospace when Ford had an aerospace division when they did defense contracting. So I was part of it.
Yeah. And I tell you, you hit it. But you see, it's the mentality. But again, it's the mentality of mid-America. And I would say, it will fight me to believe that most of America thinks this way. But I like to say a good portion of America thinks this way, and a lot of people just go along because most people are sheep and followers, that welfare is, again, this mentality for whites only, but when brown people or black people get it, it becomes a different story.
Exactly. It's all about getting money to the right people.
Yeah. Welfare should only go to white folks, but black and brown people know they got to earn every striking penny.
Well, you know, Kevin, here's the real truth of the matter, and I'll talk to you like they would talk to you and all that stuff. You know, the truth of the matter is that a black person doesn't earn anything ever. Black persons never earn anything. They all, you know, they're all just a bunch of lazy, shiftless people who would die if it wasn't for the white man, you understand. You'd all die out. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if you look at our foreign policy, it's the same thing. Any country that has tried to start socialized medicine that had a majority of brown and black people, all of a sudden they're a communist dictatorship.
Yeah.
But, you know, Denmark, Sweden, Finland can get away with it.
Well, they also don't have a lot of oil out there, too, so we really don't give a damn about them.
Norway has oil.
Norway's got a lot of oil?
Well, Norway, that's what pays for a lot of these countries' social bodies. It's the oil wealth.
But we're afraid of the Vikings, too. We don't want to fight Vikings.
No, again, you know, it all boils down to, and again, it's the racist foreign policy and the racist domestic policy that this country has had since the onset is that, again, you know, it's like what's necessarily good for white people will not be good for everybody. And I have any hatred for white people because I know a majority, overwhelmingly, don't have a say in this. It's a select few from these right-wing think tanks and these intellectuals. And, yes, they do have some black and brown cowards that will go along with them, like the Condi Rices and the Alberto Gonzalez's and the Clarence Thomas. You know, we're not that pure, and we're not purely victims in this, you know. Even in concentration camps in World War II, you had Jewish agents working alongside the Nazis.
I just don't understand that mentality, man. I don't understand why black people vote for Republicans. Yeah. I don't understand why Jewish people, any minorities, why women, why any of these people vote for Republicans. They're the party of rich, old, white guys.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of self-hatred in conservatives. And, you know, Bob and I were talking about this. There's a lot of self-hatred. Come on. Who else but the Bush regime can pick Clarence Thomas, a black Supreme Court justice who isn't fond of black people?
Right. He's got his, he's pulling up the ladder behind him now, you know. I got mine, screw you.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I just, where else can you find in that circle, you know, what's his name, Haggard, Reverend Haggard, a gay man who doesn't like homosexuals? You know, it's like, so.
I remember seeing the Max Blumenthal video recently with the Young Republicans, and that one guy who was talking about, you know, the difference between being straight and gay, and how you can have gay feelings but not act on them, which, you know, it's temptation to me. And he was, like, almost backing up like he was saying it, and it was like, he was like going into convulsions trying to get it right. And you can tell the guy wanted to suck somebody off somewhere, you know, but he just, oh, my God, I can't do that because then I would really be a homosexual. And that would be bad. It would be against God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, anybody who takes the time and effort to study people, like, I don't know if, again, when I first moved down to Florida and I made the accident of wearing a pink shirt, which is very common in New York, you know, I'm your typical New York metrosexual, okay, and I wore a pink shirt in Florida. I was ragged all day, and then it became, I can expect that, but then it became more hateful when they started saying, well, all faggots deserve to die and go to hell kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, here's a guy who's gay now, you know, and he doesn't like it. You know, if you take that much amount of time to get involved with someone who, you know, with a person, with who a person is sleeping with, you know, something isn't right in you're living in a very much a glass house, and you should not be throwing stones.
Well, I still don't understand why it's anybody's business. That's what I don't understand. What business
exactly.
is it of theirs?
Exactly. The only business is between the two people who are doing whatever they're doing. You know, and if you ever notice, most females who are against abortions overwhelmingly have had abortions themselves.
Right. Well, you know, they struggle. What are they? I've read about that where the people who actually protest the abortion clinics will go in there and use the same clinic to get an abortion. Then they'll be right out the next couple of days as soon as they heal up, you know, protesting again.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, we should call it the hypocrisy party, you know.
I'd like to call them the out of power party is what I'd like to call them.
Unfortunately,
ignorance is easier than intellectualness. You know, ignorance is a lot easier.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Kevin, let me let you go. Thanks
all right,
again
brother.
For the call.
I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Yes,
our good friend Kevin from D.C. calling in as he does regularly. Yeah, I just don't understand it myself. I can't see it. I mean, I understand where Kevin's coming from and all the other things, but I just can't see how anybody votes Republicans. My former landlord in Atlanta, in Decatur, a gay guy, and every time I went up, you know, to pay the rent or to talk to him, you know, he had Fox News on. And he was a hardcore right-wing Republican, and apparently I found out from some other people that for some gay people it's just kind of cool to be Republicans. Well, we're standing out, you know. We're not just going to be part of the crowd and vote Democratic. We're just, you know, we're different. We're going to vote Republicans because we're for fiscal responsibility. Never mind the fact that, you know, a whole bunch of the people in the Republican Party would prefer to see us killed like Matthew Shepard. But we're all in favor of that. Jews for Jesus! Sheep voting for wolves. And, you know, if they were the only ones that were affected by that stuff, I would be more than happy. There you go. You want to be with that crowd? Help yourself. The problem is they're dragging the rest of the country down with them. Then guys like me have to put up with it. And I don't want to put up with it. I don't want to argue with them anymore. That's why I kind of say, look, I'll argue with them when your head's on a pike, I'll argue with you, okay? when the riots have broken out and there's chaos in the streets, when you're all strung up by your heels like Mussolini, I'll debate you then. Until you're out of power, until you can't do any more harm to people, I don't want to talk to you. Every Republican should be gone from office. Everybody who votes Republican ought to be shamed. We ought to treat them like they treated the Vichy French after the war. Shave their heads. Rip their clothes. March them down the street. Because they're all traitors. They call us traitors, but they're the ones who have no concept of what it means to be American. What they did, they'll worship the flag and they'll worship the military. But they have no concept of what the Founding Fathers were talking about when they founded the country. They have no concept of the Constitution, the basis of the laws we live on, because they don't really care. What it's all about for them is, where can I get mine and how can I screw everybody else? That's the important thing. That's what we want to know. I get my nice little government job building airplanes for Saudi Arabians, and they can't give a black guy welfare. My God, that's no good. Them lazy, shiftless people, they don't know nothing. It's enough to make you pull your hair out. Then they turn around and say, well, we don't want no unions. We think them unions are communists. We can't have people standing up for themselves. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with people being in a union? What's wrong with those union people? Why do they do that? Them union people, they take money out of your salary to pay for dues. You don't want to pay for dues. And in the meantime, the CEOs are going, oh, yeah, sure. I love you saying that. Here you go. Meanwhile, I'm cutting your salary. I'm going to steal your pension. And I'm going to run the company into the ground, and I'm going to run out with a $150 million bonus. That's right. That's what he's going to do, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud to work for a man like that because he's a real go-getter. Yes, sir, he's a real go-getter. He's my man. He's the boss, boy. He's up there for a reason. They pay him all that money for a reason. Yes, sir. And I'm happy to be working for him. Well, my mortgage is collapsing, but you know something? That's okay because, you know, someday I want to be just like that guy. I want to be just like him. And I keep recalling, when I think about stuff like that, the movie Pursuit of Happiness, spelled with a Y, about the homeless guy who became a millionaire and now he's got a desk made of an airplane wing. Oh boy, he's doing great. Now he goes out to give speeches to people to say how, you know, I was once homeless, now I have a desk made out of an airplane wing. Woo boy! And these people pay lots of money to listen to him speak. And I'm thinking, what does it say about the people who go to his speech who were never homeless, yet they can't make all these millions of dollars and they don't have a desk made out of an airplane wing? What's wrong with them? And as I tell people, what does it say about our society that a man who has such obvious skills in raising money became homeless in the first place? What does it say about us? What does it say about a country that kicks people out of hospitals, out of emergency rooms, simply because they don't have the money? If you're too poor to afford health care, I guess you just die, don't you? Well, that's the way they like it. Speaking of dying, I got to get the hell out of here. We're almost out of time. Thanks, Kevin, for calling in earlier. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, my good friend and boss, Bob Kincaid, running the boards out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. If you listen to the show, if you missed the show, you're just coming in and you want to catch it. If you want to catch what you missed, you can listen to the archives on the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your Head-On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. Sunni villagers fought back and killed 10 terrorists this morning after the al-Qaeda in Iraq attacked two Sunni villages east of Bakuba with mortars and rocket-propelled grenades. At least 32 Sunnis were killed in the raid and another 22 wounded. The militants fled with 15 women and children. They were after an Iraqi sheikh who died in the attack that encouraged his community to confront the al-Qaeda in Iraq. The newly appointed Army Secretary said he will not lengthen deployment times for soldiers in Iraq. Pete Guerin, a former Texas congressman, said he sees no possibility of extending troop deployments beyond the current 15 months. Adding longer tours put too much stress on soldiers and their families. In southern Afghanistan, two Canadian soldiers and an Afghan interpreter were killed today near Kandahar. The Taliban today released another video of a German hostage urging his family and government to secure his release. Five Afghan employees were also kidnapped more than a month ago, along with a co-worker who was later executed. The two South Korean humanitarians that were released by the Taliban last week are appealing for the release of their 19 co-workers still being held. The two women called and told Al Jazeera News it was very hard to leave their friends behind. 23 aid workers were ambushed over 2 months ago. Two were executed by the Taliban, two have been freed, and 19 remain in captivity. Humanitarian workers employed by aid groups receiving U.S. funding will soon be required to submit to background checks. The screening process is intended to keep relief money out of terrorists' hands. New Jersey's Attorney General has ordered law enforcement to notify federal immigration whenever a lawbreaker is determined to be an illegal immigrant. The U.S. Coast Guard tried to seize a semi-submersible vessel off of Guatemala, but the four-man crew scuttled it before the Coast Guard could board. What they did end up seizing was the crew and bale after bale of cocaine that kept floating to the surface. Former Hurricane Dean, now a tropical depression, has dissipated over the central mountains of Mexico. Authorities are now concerned the heavy rains will cause mudslides.